Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY13 earnings conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder for the duration of the conference, all participants' lines are in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us on the quarter two call. Today, we are going to discuss the financial results of the second quarter for this financial year for NIIT Limited. And while I get into the details, I just thought I'll mention to you that for all comparison purposes, I am using the comparison with the continuing part of NIIT Limited's business. Just to remind everybody, at this time last year, and that means for this quarter last year, we did have Element K as a part of the NIIT consolidated results. On 14th of October last year, we had divested our stake in that, and therefore, in this year's results, we do not have Element K's performance built in, and the results that I'm going to discuss with you are on a continuing basis. In case anyone would like the performance with inclusion of Element K last year, I would have those and I can take them in the Q&A session. Before I get into the details, I would like to talk about the environment, which, to say it in one word, has been quite challenging. On the other hand, there have been some opportunities which have shown signs and delivered good results. So in terms of the challenging environment, I think the macro environment is best understood by everybody, so I'm not going to spend time in talking about that. I think the more important impact of that macro environment, not just global but within the country, has been the slow hiring sentiment in the IT industry. This year, the fresher IT hiring has been 50 to 60% lower than the same period last year. In fact, if you see, over the last few years, there has been a steady decline in IT hiring, fresher IT hiring. However, this year, that decline is fairly substantial. In fact, last year's IT hiring, the joining dates have not yet been given for some of the joinees. This, of course, causes a very depressed consumer sentiment, and we have been on the receiving end of this in terms of our quarter two performance. The overall hiring sentiment has fallen by 13 percentage points as per the Manpower Employment Outlook Survey. There is also a positive side, and that is that in the private schools, in any new school, technology solutions has become an integral part of any new school and has become a distinctive feature of schools which have and which don't have. And therefore, technology implementation in schools is opening up to be a big opportunity. The third, corporates, to start with globally and now even in the country, are increasingly realizing the benefits of training, especially in the challenging economic environment, and are realizing that training is best delivered by specialist firms if returns on that investment have to be realized. And to that extent, NIIT, with its 30 years of strong legacy, a strong brand, strong track record, becomes a natural choice. Of course, our global presence helps a lot in that. And that has resulted in a large number of RFPs in which we have been participating, and we have also met with success in some of those, as we will discuss. The most important part, of course, is the impact of the challenging business environment on a number of education sectors. I'm sure many of you would have read about the fact that a large number of engineering colleges and universities had single-digit enrollment. In fact, there are colleges and universities which did not have any enrollment. in their engineering degree programs, especially to do with computer sciences. And the reason for that, on one hand, is said to be the overcapacity which got created, but on the other hand, it is also a contributor of the negative sentiment which at this point of time the IT sector is going through. The squeeze in hiring is, we understand, in the IT services section is because of the nervousness coming out of the outsourcing rhetoric, which is part of the U.S. election process. However, people are improving their capacity utilization in the short term, and we believe that this squeeze will be off next year because capacity utilization cannot be increased indefinitely. The third is that companies are preferring more first-day, first-hour ready professionals, as is visible from a relatively small drop in our placement numbers compared to the overall hiring decline that we have seen in the marketplace. The last, the increased gross enrollment ratio, government came up with gross enrollment ratios in recent terms, which have reached 18%, which is very impressive in the short term as far as college enrollments are concerned, and the fact that new reforms will open up new opportunities are promising signs. This quarter, of course, we were quite badly hit by the slow sentiment in the IT sector. We had anticipated some of that, and we had talked about it in the first quarter. We had taken some steps. However, I must admit that the decline in enrollments has been much more than what we anticipated. It's a different issue that in DataQuest this year, NIIT has improved its market share. So while we do believe that IT sentiment is low, NIIT's leadership position as well as its strong track record are still very strong positives, and an increase in market share in these challenging times is a testimony of that. How this will impact and how do we take advantage of these in times to come is one of the discussion points we will have today. However, I want to talk about the results and take you through the nuts and bolts of those. The first redeeming feature of this, which is a scorecard on the four growth platforms, which I normally give at the beginning of each quarter, is that given the challenging times as well as the trends which technology is taking, the four platforms of growth that NIIT had identified have once again proven to be in the right direction. The cloud campus has now over 20,000 enrollments since its rollout. NIIT Insight has now crossed 100 plus colleges and covering students of over 31,000. Managed training services, our second platform of growth, has 11 global customers and has added new contracts during the quarter, as well as, I must say, in the last 15 days, two more contracts in quarter three, which of course we'll talk about in quarter three, but at this time has built a revenue visibility of $116 million. The MTS quarter two revenue itself grew on in dollar terms by 24%, but in rupee terms by 54%. NGuru, our private school solutions for schools, has also done well with 205 schools added, and now we have and achieved a growth of 54% year on year. In non-government solutions, we did have a positive growth in this segment as well. Yuvajyoti, our NSTC venture, also added more centers during the quarter and had 1,200 enrollments, which is nearly double what they had in quarter one. So it's on a strong wicket, but of course it's hardly making a dent in our top line at this time because of its relative size. So overall, the four platforms of growth are poised in the right direction. This quarter's hero has been the corporate learning solutions business, which has grown 31% year on year. EBITDA margin has improved to 12% versus 3% in the same period last year on a continuing business basis, which is an improvement of nearly 800 business basis points on a year-on-year basis. Managed training services, the growth in managed training services continued. revenue up 53% year-on-year, and managed training services is now 71% of corporate learning solutions business. School learning solutions, the non-government legacy government business, grew 11% year-on-year with addition of 205 schools, private schools, up 54% year-on-year. Operating margin in this business was at 9% if we do not consider the pass-through hardware revenue. In individual learning solutions, we did have a challenging environment. Just to remind that this is also the quarter when we have a maximum of our flagship program, GNIIT, and the recent flagship program, Diploma. Diploma did well, very well, but GNIIT, we had severe challenges, and we will discuss that when I get into the details of this program. But overall enrollments were down 18% year-on-year, which resulted in a revenue decline of 17% year-on-year. And that, of course, has been a major impact on both top line as well as the bottom line of this business. And I will talk more about that and the corrective measures that we are taking. Having said that, fresh banking enrollments have grown by 17%. And therefore, there is a very strong correlation which is emerging between the economic climate or the sector economic situation and our enrollment. As soon as banking reforms and various other slews of measures were announced and the mood became positive, the banking enrollment showed a spike. On the other hand, the depressed sentiment in IT does affect our enrollment. In NIT Yuva Jyoti, or our skills building solutions business, we now have 21 centers operational and enrollment ramping up to 1,200 registrations in quarter two. We also launched 5 new courses. I did mention that NIT was the judge, the DataQuest top IT training company for now the 20th consecutive year. I don't think it's relevant in a financial context, but in the strength of the brand as well as the relative position of NIIT compared to its contemporaries, I think this is very relevant. This year, NIIT has improved its market share from 50% to 54%. Even though the market declined in the last 12 months by 1%, for NIIT to have improved its market share, I think is something which we should take cognizance of and build into our future plan. Coming down to the key financials, our net revenues are flat on a year-on-year basis, 2791 compared to 2785. The real impact is on EBITDA, where EBITDA has declined by 39%, 604 basis points south in EBITDA percentage, and I will explain to you where this will come from. Depreciation was a little higher. Net other income was a little, we had a benefit, and the profit before tax, therefore, was at 26 million compared to 158 million last year. PAT, after looking at share of profit from associates, was at 116 million compared to 242 million, which is resulting in a basic EPS of 0.7 versus 1.5 last year. The real important issue is the decline in enrollments in the individual business. As you are aware, that it's a high operating leverage business, and therefore a decline also has a severe impact on margin. So if you would look at our expenses profile, while understanding the situation and understanding the way the situation was unfolding, we did take some cost management actions, but those cost management actions could only have a part of the impact on the recovery of the market. We did have cost management initiatives impact of 76 million. However, adverse forex impact, which is more a technical entry, as well as adverse business mix of 27 million and cost inflation were the ones which contributed to the decline in the EBITDA margin. In the net other income, was essentially because of lower interest expenses as well as a refund that we got from income tax, which had some interest built into it. Overall, if we do an impact of our margin, the primary impact has come out of lower revenue, actually the adverse business mix, because individual learning solutions, which was a 20% margin business last year, in this quarter, had the decline. On the other hand, the growth came in relatively lower margin businesses of schools and corporate learning solutions. We did recover a part of it from cost management initiatives, but the forex impact as well as the cost inflation, which was frankly well managed by us, as well as a small impact of annual increments, led to this decline of nearly 604 basis points in margin. Coming down to our domestic and rest of the world business, US and Europe have increased their share to 16% in our total business. India has declined, has also increased its share from 54 to 58% in the total business. Rest of the world has seen a decline in the overall business. In terms of net revenues, individual grew by minus 17, schools by plus 34, corporate by plus 31. EBITDA contribution, individual had a 223 million negative contribution in EBITDA in relative terms, which was partly compensated by $71 million, which we got through corporate and small impact in schools and skill building solutions margin. Getting into the details of each businesses, individual learning solutions business, at the net revenue level was minus 17%. Overall enrollments were 147,000, which contracted 18%, which is a fairly sharp contraction given the suddenness and given the fact that this is a large quarter in normal terms. However, fresh banking training enrollments have grown 17% year on year. Another silver lining was the NIIT Insight, whose impact, of course, in revenue will come only in future times, given that it's an annuity-based revenue. We added 14 colleges during the quarter, covering 3,400 students, which takes the tally now to 100 colleges with over 31,000 students covered by it. Our cumulative enrollments on cloud campus crossed the 20,000 mark. Margin erosion in individual learning solutions, which is nearly 1,000 basis points, was essentially contributed because of adverse revenue mix, the operating leverage, which is the real, given the fact it's a high fixed cost and relatively low variable cost business, and partly offset by cost management, which was 67 million rupees in this particular business. Individual learning solutions business, if the long-term courses do not get adequate registration, also ends with a lower order book, and that was an impact which we saw in quarter two and will perhaps see in coming quarters as well. School learning solutions, we have a revenue clocked at 541 million. However, this includes a pass-through hardware revenue of an existing contract, which once removed would bring down the revenue to 403 and operating margin up to 9%. The important thing to understand here is that this business is actually going through a transition since we are getting out of the government schools business, and that is on a decline on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the legacy government business. And we are adding the private schools, or what we call the non-GSA segment. The non-GSA segment grew by 11% year-on-year. The government revenue, on the other hand, would not have increased but for the pass-through hardware revenues. The interactive classroom solutions, we led to an addition of 205 school orders, up 54% during the quarter. Overall margin declined, while it appears is 451 basis points, but actually would be more like 200 basis points. And as I mentioned, that margin decline is actually contributed by the downsizing of the government business. In corporate learning solutions, we did have a 31% growth and an 864 basis points improvement in EBITDA margin. And MTS revenues has grown 53% year-on-year and contributes 71% to corporate learning solutions. So both in school and corporate learning solutions, I think there is a transformation which is visible from the platforms of growth. In schools, I think for the first time, the net revenue without pass-through of non-government schools would have gone past the government schools in this quarter. And that, I think, is a positive trend. I just want to remind 2 years ago, government schools used to contribute nearly 80% of the total revenue. From there, this time, the non-government school segment, the non-GSA segment, has contributed more than 50% without pass-through revenues, shows the success of that transformation process. Similarly, in corporate learning solutions on a continuing basis, MTS, which used to be, which was a non-existent number in 2 or 2.5 years ago, has now become 71% of our total revenue. So moving from a project-based revenue to an annuity-based revenue, which was the purpose of our MTS strategy, has again worked out very well and is poised in the right direction. We have a strong pipeline in place. Two MTS deals have already got signed in the first 2 weeks of the quarter, and that puts us in a very strong position with a strong revenue visibility in times to come. Skill building solutions is at an early stage. Its numbers are beginning to be visible in enrollment, though not yet visible in revenue, and most certainly not in positive EBITDA terms. But enough to say that the quarter two, their EBITDA was minus 13 million in contrast to minus 20 million last year. That doesn't show anything. It's in a growth phase, so it will continue to have this level of negative EBITDA for some more time before it turns breaks even. However, the progress has been good with 1,200 enrollments, 5 new courses launched during the quarter. Oh, I'm sorry. It was the other way around. Quarter 2013 was minus 20 compared to minus 13 million. But as I mentioned, that has it doesn't mean anything because it is still in a growth phase. I just thought I will talk to you about the balance sheet. One of the things which we have been focusing on over the last 6 quarters has been a strengthening of balance sheet. I have good things to say this quarter as well. We have improved in terms of our debtors position. If you look at historically, we normally close the quarter two with the highest debtor level in the year. But in this quarter, our debtor levels are lower than what they were in quarter one. Marginally, but that's a very significant move. Our collections this quarter were very good. In fact, our collections in the first 2 weeks of this month have also been very good. I must talk about an income tax refund of 20 crores odd, which is on its way, not yet counted in these numbers. Net debt at the end of this quarter stood at 468 million, but as we speak today, it is down to about 30 million rupees. We had a positive free cash flow as far as this quarter was concerned. In headcount numbers, anticipating a kind of a slower IT training business, we had started some efforts. However, as I mentioned, the decline in the IT enrollments has been much larger than we anticipated. Nevertheless, our headcount at the end of this quarter has reduced net by 129. It is at 3478 compared to 3607 end of last quarter. normally I would talk about the future direction at the end of Q&A, but I thought I might as well mention. These results, in overall sense, from a margin point of view, are definitely disappointing, are definitely more disappointing than we had anticipated. So we had mentioned in the last quarter that our individual learning solutions will remain challenged. Our corporate learning solutions has done better than expected and is ahead of its projections. Our school learning solutions are in line. Skill development, skill building solutions are in line. However, the individual learning solutions shortfall definitely requires a rethinking of strategy on that. In the quarter two, since that's the largest quarter, taking any major action would have been a difficult thing, and we had to play this quarter till the last ball, which is indeed what we did. But going forward, we do have a strategy in place as to how we would like to look at this challenging times, which we do believe will continue for another couple of quarters now that we have two quarters history behind us, and therefore we cannot believe that it is just a temporary setback. We do believe that the slow hiring will continue for another two quarters before the IT firms open the gates again for freshers, which will become necessary given the fact that capacity improvement can only go on till that to a limit and not beyond. The second, the engineering enrollment, the engineering seats going vacant are definitely putting a pressure on colleges to look at differentiating factors. And I think the NIIT employability programs, which NIIT offers as a part of NIIT Insight, definitely should have a better pull in times to come. So while in short term these are bad news, I think in medium to long term these can indeed become very strong product lines for the company. Not to mention the increased gross enrollment ratio of 18% will mean many more students in college, many more graduating, and therefore our response to that would be in short term to right-size the organization, to look at the current necessity and then look at growth opportunities simultaneously. In the 2000-2001 slowdown, one of the great strategies which had worked very well for us was that in a slowing market, we had improved our market share, and when we came out of the slowdown, we actually came out much stronger than we had got into it. We believe the same thing can happen and will happen this year, and we are working on new sets of products. I will ask Mr. Raghavan to explain about that. The third is the cloud campus, which is one of the platforms of growth, which has definitely shown not only promise, but good performance. Cloud campus not only has an opportunity for us to grow in times to come, but also has an opportunity to improve our margins substantially. We would like to accelerate that process and make sure that cloud campus becomes a part of all our offerings at a faster pace than before. I must admit that over the last 2 years, we have made substantial investments in the cloud campus and have also taken the brunt of negative margins because of that. However, given the fact that we have passed those, I think in future we can look for good results to come out of cloud campus, and therefore margin improvement will come through cloud campus and right sizing, and revenue improvement in medium term will come through induction with new programs, both in IT as well as non-IT, and Mr. Raghavan will be talking about that. In schools, our singular focus will be collection on government receivables, which indeed happened in a better form than it has happened in the past, in last quarter and even the first 15 days of this quarter. But our growth in revenue as well as improvement in margin will come out of our solutions for private schools, where we are going ahead with the big push. Once again, I might mention that the big investment in creating the product line for private schools has already been done, and therefore we should be able to take advantage of an improving margin as we go along in future quarters. In corporate learning solutions, I already mentioned They are on a strong wicket. They are in 16 RFPs as we speak, and two RFPs went in our favor in the first 15 days of this quarter, which is a very good sign. And we do believe that with increase in volume and increase in margin coming out of that volume as well as other efficiencies, we see this business growing fairly rapidly and, in fact, ahead of its projections. In summary, I think aligning ourselves to the new realities of the market in individual, taking advantage of the tailwinds that we see in private schools business and the opportunity that we see in corporate learning business will remain the strong points of our future strategy. So I will stop here at this time and open the discussion for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. Thank you. The first question from the line of Reshma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, I just wanted to know, FY12, the growth in enrollment for ILS was around 3%. This year, we are seeing degrowth. So we've definitely invested in cloud, but could you just tell us, what if the hiring doesn't pick up next year? How are we going to position ourselves, given the IT companies today currently do not have visibility beyond the calendar?
Yes, I think you have said it in very appropriate terms that the enrollment growth was single digit last year and has been negative in the first half of this year. The slow hiring sentiment at this point of time is most likely going to continue for next two quarters if we were to go by industry estimates. If we were to look at the results of the four big IT majors, their fresher hiring has declined by 50% and more. So obviously that situation is not going to change. Everybody is waiting for how the response to the outsourcing rhetoric comes from the U.S. election, as well as how the macroeconomic environment changes. So therefore, the plan for a hiring situation improvement is not the best thing to do. Having said that, the capacity utilization improvement which the companies are banking on and are talking about cannot go on indefinitely. So to that extent, first hour ready, just-in-time recruitment, I think is the order of the day, and we do see that beginning to happen. People not likely to keep bench and would like people to be available just in time. We can prepare ourselves to take advantage of that situation. Of course, the non-IT sectors, some of which are very promising, are also other opportunities. Having said that, at a macro level, let me request Mr. Raghavan to talk about how he sees enrollment growth to come back.
Thank you, Vijay. First of all, I just want to say that the cloud campus is a method of delivery which will apply across multiple set of products. Last year, we did introduce it in GNIT, and this year, we continue to have the cloud campus for the revised and new GNIT product. They've also introduced other products on cloud campus. So cloud campus leverage will be across multiple products, both what we've already introduced and the ones that we will introduce. So that is one point I wanted to share. Coming to the main issue in terms of enrollment growth,
yeah.
I see growth opportunity basically coming from the following two, three areas. One is definitely is within the space of IT,
mm-hmm.
There is a traditional requirement as well as the new age IT requirements.
Yeah.
Which are becoming very pronounced, and they are very much in demand, such as analytics, cloud campus, cloud-related, service-related, cloud technology, information security,
mm-hmm.
app development. These are some of the areas in which really there is, the max has not been reached, and there is increasing demand. So one of our strategies will be to introduce products in these areas. The second will be additional domains. I think I mentioned about this in the last quarterly results.
Mm-hmm.
We said that we will introduce the product in applied finance management. We have introduced it. We have currently introduced it in the last quarter for the students in colleges, namely BCom students primarily.
Mm-hmm.
The important point is we will be introducing to graduates, BCom graduates, and other graduates who are appropriate for this course very soon.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of digital marketing, this is an important area where talent is in shortage. And we have, with collaboration with Google Web Academy, launched a course on online marketing. And we will continue to strengthen that portfolio into a much larger area. And we've also identified other domains such as retail and sales,
mm-hmm.
where the requirements are there, and we will introduce products.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the segments, the graduate segment will become an important part because of the lesser campus recruitment that we're seeing.
Sure.
We will have more graduates available out there in the market who will want to, first of all, skill themselves and equip themselves to be ready.
Mm.
Companies have also announced increasing campus recruitment,
mm-hmm.
and that also will be an important aspect wherein we are able to encash. Now, the diploma format, which we introduced a couple of years ago, has been a well-proven format. So we'll be able to ride on that format to introduce courses across domains and across student segments.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want to say is the institutional alliances business, wherein we are going to colleges.
Yes.
With the synchronous learning technology, there is increasing receptivity for it, even more so with the issues that the colleges face this year. And we think that will be another important channel for us to engage with the colleges and train students.
So that was a rather long response for a short question you asked, but I thought this will be a question which most of you would have. So we thought we'll give a more elaborate response.
Yeah, but I have a follow-up to that. I mean, what is our IT and non-IT enrollment ratio currently? I mean, our own enrollments, IT and non-IT, how is the intake? How do you break that up?
So I will put it this way. We are looking at it in terms of traditional IT courses,
mm.
new age IT courses,
mm.
and new domains.
Sure.
So roughly two-thirds of the current revenues are coming out of traditional IT training programs, both meant for students and graduates.
Mm.
But we expect this ratio to come down to nearly half of it over the next 3 years or so. So what we call as new age IT skills, and additional domains such as what we are already in terms of banking, finance, and management,
mm-hmm.
all these will roll up into nearly two-thirds in about 3 years' time. So we have clarity in terms of what products, what segments we need to introduce over the period of time, and we are not sitting with the same, we will not be sitting with the same portfolio of products
mm-hmm.
and continue to address the same traditional market because
mm-hmm.
there are market dynamics which are happening and we are taking that into cognizance.
I think she also wanted to know IT and non-IT. So IT is today 88% of our total revenue. 12% of revenue comes out of non-IT domains.
Mm-hmm.
We believe this 12% will double in next 3 years to nearly 22-23%.
But don't you think these 100 colleges, 31,000 students is too slow for us, given that we have a very strong brand name, tying up with colleges shouldn't be a problem?
Yeah, the sales cycles are long. Why? Because the colleges have to undergo a process of internal approvals. These are mostly colleges which are part of universities. So for them to add another course, you know, education system moves rather slowly as far as that is concerned.
Plus, actually, we did this introduction of this particular line last year,
mm-hmm.
and we had very small time of last year engaged in this. This year, the admission cycles have been much longer. The colleges have been very busy dealing with issues of vacant seats and so on. So there has been a little bit of diffuse decision-making during this time. So the real number that we've got is not really reflective of the potential and what we can actually do.
Okay. The other question was on the corporate learning side. You could elaborate, apart from MTS, what is the other product basket that we have and
So the other product basket is custom content development.
Okay.
Which now has become very small. You know, it used to be a very volatile business because it is a project-based business. So instead of project-based business, now we have annuity-based business. That's why we talk about revenue visibility. And 71% of the business now comes out of managed training services. So I think that's very positive.
Okay. And you think this mix is not going to change substantially?
Yes. And this actually growth has been very encouraging. And our product, our performance with existing clients has also been fairly good. So we are looking at growing this business. As I said, we are right now participating in 16 RFPs, which is an unprecedented number in terms of number of RFPs which go for, let's say, managed training services.
But who are our clients in this segment?
Our client, our largest client there is a technology company. Unfortunately, we can't share the name, but it's a large technology platform company. And then we have a large ERP provider as a client, so those are from technology. We have a large oil company, as large as you can think. And then we have a couple of oil companies which are part of this. Then we have an electronics company whose name I can share, Philips, who's been there for, it's actually their second term which is going on. So we have 11 such clients.
And this is irrespective of the sector?
Yes, but at the same time, training, as I said, is a specialized function. We are also trying to make sure that we focus on a few verticals. So technology is an important vertical. Oil and gas is an important vertical. Banking, financial services is an important vertical because these are segments which have large number of people to be trained.
Lastly, about the 20 crore refund from the income tax, can you please elaborate on that?
Well, the 20 crore refund on income tax is, as you know, in case a tax order it goes adverse in your favor, then you have to deposit the tax and then challenge them in the tribunal. And we won in the tribunal, so the tax authorities have refunded us the money. Since it's of 2 or 3 years ago, they have paid us the interest for that period, which is 30 million rupees is the interest, and nearly 200 million rupees is the tax refund. Tax refund is on its way, it is not yet in.
You get it in Q3.
We will get it in Q3.
Okay, I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Amar Moria from India Nivesh. Please go.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, I would like to, apart from the quarter, if I look NIIT Limited, from the four segments, what is the overall strategy, in terms of the individual learning solution segment, which is showing a degrowth because of the IT slowdown, and if I look a school learning solution segment, where actually the growth which was expected is not coming, and the only thing which is doing well is probably somewhat the MTS segment. So I want to understand what will be if I look from the perspective of 3 years, what will be the overall strategy? Because last time when I attended the analyst meet, I believe we had elaborated more about the increasing, creating excess shareholder value. So how we are actually going to do it? Wanted to understand more about that instead of drilling down on, bookkeeping questions.
I appreciate your response. I appreciate your question. I also appreciate the concern you have. And by the way, we share that concern, though we have some solutions for that, which is what we are implementing. Now, as you know, the economic environment in the last 2 or 3 years has indeed been challenging. the dollar has been doing, a roller coaster. And in that environment, we have been trying to manage and create a clear direction for ourselves. The good news is that the four platforms of growth that we identified are the four platforms of growth which are doing well. And looks like that is the strategy set that we will follow for times to come. Having said that, there is a transition, a very important transition, which we have to go through as a company in terms of getting out of a more socially relevant and relevant to the nation, government schools business, and focus more on the private schools business, which has a higher growth as well as liquidity and low capital intensity potential. In government schools, we have contracts which are going to go on for another four and a half years, given the fact that last contract was taken sometime in last year. Maybe a little bit here or there based on the quarters. But you must know that the private schools business has been growing exponentially. Not exponentially is perhaps the wrong word, but has been growing very impressively. And we have crossed the transition point where the private schools business in size is now larger than the government schools business. If you take away the hardware pass-through revenues, which anyway, as you said, in overall strategy terms don't matter anything. Which means what? The private schools business, if the government school business remains lower and lower, and that becomes higher and higher, and is growing faster, we would see the benefit of that. In totality, that growth will look stunted because of one reason, but if all of us understand that the four platforms of growth are what we are following, it would have a positive impact on our bottom line and creation of shareholder value, which is what you referred to. Shareholder value is also a reduction in the size of our balance sheet and increase in the return on that capital. So size in our balance sheet is reducing as the government payments are coming back, and improvement in return is happening as private schools are doing better and better. And by the way, now they are past the break-even mark and are at a critical mark where every school now adds more to the profit than on a marginal basis. If you look at the corporate learning solutions, once again, we are out of the single-digit margin, which we struggled with for 2 years as we transitioned from a content development, project-based content development business to an annuity-based managed training services business. This quarter, the margin is 12%, and we do believe that that margin will continue to improve in times to come. So here, both the top line and the bottom line, the top line will increase and bottom line will actually improve disproportionately with that. This is a low capital consumption business because the capital for this business is provided by the customer himself. So it is actually a very good business from improving shareholder value. And if the visibility is long, you can be sure that you would get those returns for times to come. Then comes the individual learning solutions business. In individual learning solutions business, I must say, which has been the flagship of all our profits, and as well as the size that it provides, a change in that does affect the overall sentiment, and I do not deny the fact that it is a disappointing situation if you look at this quarter. But understanding the fact that the graduate segment is the segment which will buy from us, graduate segment at the same time pays less though because they come for shorter periods of time and therefore pay less. We need many more graduates to compensate for one long-term enrollment. That transition is beginning to happen. And once again, in that transition, as we gain momentum, we would see an improvement. Important thing to know is that graduates are no longer just seeking for an IT career. I wish it was just an IT career because we were the only ones and we were doing better and better. However, there are newer careers such as banking and financial services. There are newer sectors which are opening up, which offer promising opportunities. And our ability with our core competencies to rise to the level of those opportunities will determine our success in this. We will go through a temporary period of negativity in this business, which is unfortunately due to the economic downturns as well as the local conditions that we have here. But beyond that, I think in the three-year period, we would be back to the same levels, given the fact that more and more graduates are graduating, more and more jobs are coming, more and more companies are asking for first day, first hour ready, but just in time professionals. So we see those as macro trends which will contribute to our profitability in 3 years to come.
Sir, my concern about, first of all, about the school learning solution segment, as we are saying that we are moving from government school to private school, but don't you sense that the competition in this school learning solution is equally increasing at the same pace, and the pricing power of the service provider is reducing significantly?
You are right that the competition is increasing, but the size of the opportunity is very large, number one. Number two, I think innovation and core competencies to service such a large number of schools is a core strength which is required. Every new competition which is coming in, you would also notice are stumbling when it comes to reaching a certain scale. And I think our benefit lies in the fact that if we stay at par or ahead on the innovation curve, then our ability to scale very fast will come in our favor. Our brand is much, much stronger than anybody in this business. And we are a preferred solution provider. Our ability to reach as many schools and scale up in terms of closing those orders is definitely a one which we are improving on.
Okay, sir. And secondly, about the school learning solution, we had scaled a marketing team, I believe, 3-4 quarters back. So how it is now? Like, you know, are we going to see some more significant improvement in the school learning? I mean, school private school edition, or it is likely to remain at the level which is we are delivering?
As you can see, it is improving on a quarter-on-quarter basis. We had 54% increase in the number of schools that we added this quarter, right? So the sales force that we added and the marketing programs that we launched are definitely delivering results. You would, of course, and we would, of course, like to see a substantial improvement in that. And we do believe that as the team becomes more and more mature, we will begin to see those results.
So if you can share about, if I can get some sense about the individual learning solution, in terms of the enrollment, what will be the break-even enrollment for us, if you can share?
Break-even would mean what, sorry? We are in a profitable business even now.
No, but assuming that this is the segment which is likely to see a pressure going ahead, and as it is the economies of scale business, so obviously when enrollments come down, it is likely to impact the profitability as well, and that will impact the overall profitability of the business. So I'm just trying to understand if I can get some break-even.
No, so are you saying what is the break-even level, which means at what level, if it goes down further, will we stop making money? Is that your question?
Probably yes, in a sense, yes.
So a center typically breaks even at about 35 to 40% capacity utilization.
Okay. And sir, what was the revenue from cloud in this quarter and margin, if you can share?
I don't think we will have that as a line item, but we could... I don't even know whether, well, at the back of the envelope, we can maybe pull it out and share with you, but not perhaps right now.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
My questions have been answered. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So So since we saved the question, I thought I'll give a clarification. My colleagues tell me that I did mention that private schools grew by 54% quarter on quarter. I should have said year on year. I meant year on year, but I may have said on the same period last year. Yeah. Next question, please.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Soumitra Chatterjee from Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for taking my question. I have too many questions. I will take it one by one. First is, Mr. Thadani, you mentioned that the enrollments have actually declined this quarter by around close to 14%, close to 18% on a YOY basis. And you know, I was just wondering what could be the trend going forward for the next two quarters. Should we assume a YOY decline again for Q3, Q4?
I will ask Mr. Raghavan to comment.
We think the enrollment decline on a year-over-year basis for the remaining two quarters will be lesser than what we've seen in the first half.
Okay. So first half, your enrollments have declined by 14%. So should we take in single digits? I mean, I'm just getting a sense of what are you seeing in the market.
I would think probably in the 10% range is what I'm expecting for the year.
Okay. Second is, you mentioned that you are expecting margins in the corporate learning segments to improve. I understand that it's a low capex business, but what are the operating levers that are available to improve the margins beyond 12%?
Okay. So, two issues. One, as we have managed training services consists of three activities. There is a large technology platform which we use. So the expenses of, so there are a little bit of fixed expenses in terms of a technology platform, in terms of a facility, in terms of, sorry, an offshore facility. And then there are variable expenses which are, you know, like in any other business. So one will be out of the volume, the operating leverage, coming out of the volume.
Okay.
The second is that on some of these contracts, the product mix which we are getting is more on higher margin kind of product lines, if I may use, or service lines. So that is the other contributor to that. The third is that when we started, our pricing power and our ability to get a certain level of pricing was restricted because of our track record. So I think there is a little bit of pricing power which will also step in. All these three will contribute.
So would it be fair to assume a 15% kind of operating margins over a next two-year period on a steady-state business?
In fact, our guidance to the market has been an 18 to 20% growth and an 18 to 20% margin over the next two or three-year period.
Okay, great. And one more thing. I think you are participating in 16 RFPs, of which you have already won two. So what could be the size of the remaining 14 RFPs, if you would give a total contract value, not the individual sizes?
You didn't fortunately ask me what is the size of the two that we won. No, the sizes are mixed. But let me tell you that the larger RFPs that we participate are of the order of about $40 to $50 million revenue visibility. And the smallest RFP that we would participate would be $3 to $4 million.
Okay, so this will be over a period of 3 to 5 years, right? I'm assuming 40 to 50.
Very correct.
Okay, and you had mentioned in the TV interview that one government school business might be, you know, one contract may end. So what could be the number of schools and what could be the impact on revenue in the quarter three?
In quarter three, one of the contracts is closed. Sorry?
Next year.
Sorry, that contract closed.
Next year, 130 schools of Assam 1.
Yeah. So, did I say quarter three? Then perhaps that was an error because I said in the next part of the year, perhaps. But it is 130 schools will be lower in the next year, which was one of the earlier SAM projects.
Okay. And one thing on balance sheet, what I sense is last quarter you ended with a net debt of close to 27 crores.
Yeah.
And this quarter it has increased to around 43.6 crores.
Yeah.
Given that you have generated free cash, I was just wondering why the net debt, why the debt on the books is actually going up. Because in quarter three last year you sold Element K and you were net cash positive for a quarter. But since then the debt level is slowly and steadily going up. So I was wondering the reasons behind that.
Yeah, I think this is a timing issue because I also said in the same sentence this morning, the net debt level was 30 million rupees.
Okay. And what would be the capex in the first half of FY13?
First half of FY13 was
45.5
million rupees, 45.5 crores.
Okay. And what was the free cash that you generated during the quarter?
10.8 crores.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Ganesh Shetty from as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
We have overseas IT training services. Can we take our other offerings like soft skills and banking to the emerging markets, sir? Is there any possibility there?
Not only is there a possibility, but there has been a small beginning made. Mr. Rahul can talk about it.
Yes, we are very actively looking at other countries for opportunities. We have entered into one of the African countries for the banking, finance and insurance training.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is we are doing a fair amount of soft skills training in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have opportunities and we are doing it already and we will look at taking these to other markets where we have an established channel.
Mm-hmm.
We will ride on the channel and operations that we already have rather than going to a brand new country for these products alone. That will be our strategy.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is regarding the soft skill. After selling Element K to Skillsoft, we have become their partner in content development. Are we getting any sizable business from them, sir?
We have a commitment of $12.5 million of business from them, and we are actually ahead of that commitment.
Mm-hmm. Sir, have you identified any ILS center where rentals are very high compared to business visibility? Can you throw some light on this, sir?
Yes. In fact, in recent times, in some of the commercial spaces that we had,
mm-hmm.
the rentals have actually gone beyond our business affordability.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the actions that I alluded to, saying that this kind of a decline, since it's going to continue for a while, requires a serious intervention. One of the serious interventions which Mr. Raghavan proposes to do is to consolidate some centers and get out of those high rental commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a matter of fact, last quarter itself, we moved two centers into metro cities from
mm-hmm.
high expensive rental places to relatively lower rental places without affecting any customer service levels.
Mm-hmm. Sir, can you give some insight regarding NIT One World, how that concept is working for us, sir? That's all from me, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's working very well. What we are planning to do in this quarter is to take it to the next level. While we are offering products in about 56 centers across the country, across products, what we are going to do is to take it to the next level and make some of the centers physically be integrated, thereby under one roof, you will have a full service of products across the domain. So that is working well, and we have ways to go for realizing its full value, and that is something we are actively looking at to implement this quarter.
That's all from me, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Vijay Thadani for closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being on the call and for all your questions, which, as usual, give us very interesting insights, which we act upon. I did mention that we are in challenging times, but we are very confident that we would be able to overcome with the strategy sets that we have. We do have a couple of challenging quarters compared in front of us. Not as challenging as we've been through. We do think some of the actions that we have taken will lessen the burden. But the two product lines which are doing well will continue to do well, and we do hope that we would be able to recover from the current situation rather quickly. Thank you very much for your support. We are open to any other questions or discussions that you would like to have.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.